Today, at the edge of the abyss, or just noise? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and broad news. This is our weekly market update. We'll begin in the US, move to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and cover commodities and crypto along the way. Recent tensions in the Middle East increased oil prices, with investors turning to safe haven assets like the dollar and gold. Oil prices rose following Iran's response to Israel's significant military action. Additionally, there were developments regarding tariff disputes, security interventions by the Trump administration, and mixed economic news. It appears investors are increasingly disregarding the share market volatility caused by the aggressive trade policies of the Trump administration, becoming optimistic that markets may still reach new highs in the coming 6 months, as they think major tariff impacts seem to be over. Well, we'll see about that. Global stocks have increased this week, pushing the MSCI All Country World Index to a record high. The ASX 200 dropped on Friday due to the Israeli missile strikes on Iran, but it has risen 19% since April, nearing a bull market. Wall Street's S&P 500 also reached nearly its February peak, while the Pan-European Stock 600 slid 0.9%, briefly reaching its lowest level in 3 weeks. This index also marked its fifth consecutive declining session, the longest losing streak since September 2024. Markets had been focusing on higher prices due to the ongoing expansion of global debt. However, there is concern that the high valuations do not account for potential declines in corporate profits. Risk assets remain at elevated prices, driven primarily by momentum trading, which carries inherent risks. Meanwhile, bond auctions continued satisfactorily despite the increased costs associated with long-term debt. Some investors have cautioned that the threat of tariff disruptions does remain and has warned against market complacency. Damian Klassen, for example, head of investment of Nucleus Wealth, emphasised this on our Tuesday's live show this week, and he said you need to be cautious about momentum trades linked to unpredictable announcements. He noted that people were increasingly ignoring the noise and continuing their usual activities until clearer economic signals emerged. Klassen expressed uncertainty about whether markets would continue to rise, but was less certain than in previous months that something would derail the share markets. He anticipates stronger corporate earnings than he did 3 months ago, when he believed tariffs would severely impact businesses. On Friday in New York, the Dow was down 1.79%, the S&P 500 was down 1.13%, and the Nasdaq Composite was down 1.3% as well. The Volatility Index was up 15.65% though to 2084. Airline and travel companies fell in response to the Air India crash and potentially higher oil prices, while energy producers and defense shares rose. The outbreak of conflict brought attention to oil prices, of course, considering Iran is one of the largest exporters of crude and controls the Strait of Hormuz, a critical passageway for crude tankers through which roughly a fifth of global consumption flows, and which Iran has previously threatened to close in response to Western pressure. Oil prices increased significantly on Friday, with crude oil for July delivery rising by 8.1% to reach $73.18 a barrel, while the August Brent oil contract increased by 7.73% to $75.18 a barrel. JP Morgan noted that the worst case scenario in the Middle East could push oil prices to the $120 to $130 a barrel range, but others predict a cap closes at $80. Goldman Sachs has factored a higher geopolitical risk premium into its adjusted summer 2024 oil price outlook, but does not anticipate disruption to oil supply in the Middle East. In the US, University of Michigan sentiment data was stronger than expected ahead of retail sales data next week and the Federal Reserve interest rate decision, where rates are expected to remain unchanged until the impact of tariffs on the US economy become clearer. US government bond yields rose as investors sought safe havens amid rising oil prices, concerns about inflation. The 10-year yield was last at 4.4%, and the 30-year yield was at 4.896%. The US government sold $22 billion of 30-year notes at a lower than expected yield, reflecting sustained demand for safe haven US treasuries due to volatile trade policies and mounting US debt. Dollar index closed up 0.27%, and the Bank of America strategists asserted that the greenback's safe haven status remains intact despite recent tariff-related volatility. They argue that de-dollarization is unlikely in the near term and that new technologies such as stable coins may further globalize the dollar. The euro-US dollar fell to 1.1551 after reaching an earlier multi-year high, as German CPI confirmed the 2.1%, while euro-dollar industrial production declined 2.4% year-on-year in April. The US dollar-Japanese yen increased by 0.3% to 144.11. The pound-US dollar decreased amid a stronger US dollar and risk-off trade, with intention turning to the Bank of England's interest rate decision, which is likely to keep rates unchanged next week due to persistent inflation of 3.5%. Before recent geopolitical tensions escalated, traders had increased their bets on Federal Reserve rate cuts, and despite May's lower-than-expected inflation numbers, the headline rate rose to 2.4% year-on-year, with core inflation set at 2.8%. Money markets still project 2 quarter-point reductions before the end of the year, though expectations have slightly receded now. Gold futures for August delivery increased by 1.47% to $3,452.60 per troy ounce. Gold valuation has recently surpassed the euro, making it second only to the US dollar. Silver surged above $36, indicating potential significant gains, although current silver futures positioning and near-term gold risk do suggest caution. Trade developments are likely to continue to impact markets, with a 90-day pause on various tariffs set to end on July the 8th. A trade truce this week between China and the US offered hope of a lasting resolution, although the absence of detailed terms leaves potential for future conflict. This week, President Trump stated that letters outlining possible trade deals will be sent to numerous countries soon, which will then be for them to decide whether to accept or decline those terms. European shares closed lower on Friday following Israel's extensive strike against Iran, leading to a broad market sell-off as investors moved towards safe haven assets amid an already uncertain trade environment. Germany's DAX fell 1.07%, influenced by data showing Germany's inflation eased to 2.1% in May. Travel and leisure sectors dropped 2%, with airlines like ICAG, Lufthansa and Ryanair among the most affected, as many airlines cleared out of the airspace over Israel, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, while crude oil prices increased. Shipping groups Maersk advanced by 4.2% and Hapag-Lloyd gained almost 1%, as analysts highlighted potential risks to freight rates amid supply disruptions. France's CAC 40 declined by 1.04% and London's FTSE decreased by 0.39%. The UK's weak labour market report was followed by data showing the economy contracted by 0.3% month over month in April, with industrial and manufacturing production rates entering negative territory. That was the worst monthly drop since October 2023. Despite the Bank of England's cautious stance on interest rate cuts due to persistent inflation, it raises expectations of another 50 basis points worth of reductions before the end of the year. Traders anticipate the bank will maintain current rates at its Thursday's meeting next week after cutting rates by 25 basis points previously. Next reduction is fully expected in September. Asian equity markets decreased on Friday due to concerns over rising tensions in the Middle East following Israel's strike on Iran, prompting a risk-averse mood. Japan's Nikkei 225 dropped 1.2%, South Korea's KOSPI fell 1.3%, and Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index slid 0.8% as investors turned to safe haven assets and commodities. During the Asian session on Tuesday, the Bank of Japan will announce its monetary policy decision. At its last meeting in May, the bank held interest rates steady and downgraded both growth and inflation forecasts. The governor emphasized the uncertainty surrounding the trade landscape, noting that any rate increase will depend on related developments. Persistent inflation in Japan allowed investors to predict a more than 50% chance of another 25 basis point rate increase, but the governor reiterated that significant uncertainty remains. Though the bank is expected to hold rates steady at this meeting, Japanese yen traders will focus on forward guidance. Policymakers will keep the option for future hikes open due to elevated inflation, but if they emphasize caution, investors may push the timing of the next rate hike to early 2026, potentially affecting the yen. Japan's central bank will also reduce the pace of tapering its government bond purchases from the next fiscal year, with experts expecting a cut in the issuance of super long bonds due to dwindling demand. China's Shanghai Composite Index and the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 were both trading 0.7% lower. China announced plans to negotiate and sign a new economic agreement with African countries, removing all tariffs on the 53 African states it has diplomatic relations with. This initiative aims to benefit middle-income nations. China currently offers duty and quota-free market access to least developed countries, including many in Africa, but the new plan will extend similar market access to middle-income countries. China is ready to welcome quality products from Africa to the Chinese market, said China's foreign ministry following a meeting with African foreign ministers to review commitments made during a summit in Beijing last September. Trade between China and Africa has been growing in recent years, but has generally favoured China, which has a surplus of $62 billion last year. During last year's summit in Beijing, China pledged 360 billion yuan, around $50 billion, to African economies over 3 years through credit lines and investments, marking its return to large-scale funding deals for the continent after a pause due to the pandemic. India's Nifty 50 declined by 1%, while Australian shares fell on Friday after Israel's attack on Iran, significantly escalating tensions in the Middle East and prompting investors to seek the safety of gold. The ASX 200 initially opened higher, but later fell by 0.2% to close at 8,547.4, with 8 out of the 11 sectors declining. Despite this, the benchmark index achieved a weekly gain of 0.4%. Shane Oliver, AMP's head of investment strategy, noted that tensions regularly flare up in the Middle East, escalate for a while, and then settle back down again. So there is a danger in getting too negative. The key for investors is to look for the opportunities that the latest conflict may present. On the Australian share market, energy stocks surged as oil prices climbed. Woodside Energy increased by 7.4%, $25.21, while Santos rose by 3.7% to $6.96. Gold prices also increased as investors turned to safe haven assets, with the precious metal trading just $60 below its record of $3,500 an ounce. Gold mining companies saw gains, with Newmont rising by 5.8% to $88.07. Genesis Minerals climbed 2.1% to $4.85. And Evolution Mining gained 5.5% to $9.20. Iron ore shares dropped as the price of the steel-making ingredient fell further below $95 in Singapore. BHP decreased by 2.6% to $37.34. And Rio Tinto fell by 1.1% to $106.38. The major banks ended lower, with CBA down 0.7% to 179.35, and NAB decreased by 0.3% to 38.87. In corporate news, online luxury retailer Satire continued to decline, falling another 20.3% to 25 cents on Friday after dropping 31.2% on Thursday following its second profit downgrade in less than 2 months. Footwear retailer Accent, which owns the Hype and Platypus chains and fashion outlet Glue Store, plunged by 24.7% to $1.36 after warning that sales had flagged post-Christmas, and Dalrymple Bay Infrastructure fell by 6.2% to $3.79 after North American giant Brookfield Infrastructure confirmed that it had divested 23.2% of its stake in the Queensland coal port. The Aussie was at 64.87 US cents and 47.81 UK pence. The Australian Financial Review highlighted concerns over ASIC's market review, which is currently underway. Firstly, there has been significant fawning by ASIC over feedback received on improving market functions, primarily from investment banks, law firms, and asset managers seeking to shape markets in their favour. Secondly, there is concern over the secrecy surrounding the reviewer's feedback process, with many submissions not publicly released, including those from influential entities such as JP Morgan, which lobbied for changes to the listing process. This lack of transparency could undermine the integrity and transparency of public markets. There is also the risk that ASIC might make excessive concessions to encourage more companies to go public, potentially leading to poor shareholder outcomes. Over in cryptocurrency news, Bitcoin was last at around $105,000, suggesting its limitations as a safe haven. Trump Media and Technology Group announced that the US Securities and Exchange Commission had declared effective the registration of its Bitcoin treasury deal, raising around $2.3 billion through various debt and equity arrangements involving around 50 investors. Several companies, including GameStop and Strategy, are now incorporating Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies into their balance sheets to leverage rising token prices as the Trump administration increasingly embraces digital assets. But if you stand back and think about all of this, I think there is risk here rather than just noise. And given what we know and how this could play out, I still think markets are significantly overvalued. And that September-October period is just now around the corner, which suggests that we may well see a bit of a slide over the next 2 or 3 months. But we'll wait and see. A lot of noise, a lot of uncertainty, and I do think that markets have become complacent. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.